I'm Sam.
I'm Rob.
And I'm Joe, and welcome to Athenaeum, a podcast about writing, literature, and the culture that feeds them. The music for this episode comes from Ivan Dutch at ivandutch.com, and today we're discussing New Year's resolutions. New Year, new me. So when it comes to New Year's resolutions, it can come in a lot of different flavors about workouts or other things that are going on in your life, but here, where we talk about writing, literature, and the culture that feeds it, we're going to talk about book resolutions. What does it look like to make a book New Year's resolution? Is it based on count? Is it based off of types of books you read? Or maybe you haven't read in a while and you're trying to get back in the swing of things. How does that work? I guess my first question to you guys is, do you guys make New Year's resolutions?
I do. Books? I definitely do.
And I do not.
I go the book reads route of I think this year I downgraded myself back down to 100 books this year, because last year the 120 was a bit of a shuffle at the end, and I like to, you know, actually meet my challenges. But
do books, or do you do like any segmentation within that, or do you do other nuances around that, or is it just like straight and narrow, 100 or 120 books?
So it's kind of twofold. One is straight 100 books, like just 100 books as Goodreads counts them. The other half of mine actually goes with a book blog that I do and doing book reviews for that. So
wait, Sam, you have a book blog? What's it called?
I do. Southern Today, Gone Tomorrow.
Oh, that's so cute.
It is.
It's very wistful.
Kim's a wistful person.
I can be. But, and to kind of go with that is just being better this year on reviewing the books that I get. Last year had, I would say the last 2 years was a lot of like medical stuff. And medical stuff difficulties, I read a lot, you know, but actually sitting down and writing a review after reading when you really just want to sleep is hard.
Really, I definitely get that. I like don't even have that excuse, but I definitely had pandemic fatigue where I was going, well, I'm just going to read this book and arbitrarily give it 3, 4, 5 stars. And then I just don't want to think about it until however my top books of the year.
So talking about books and the pandemic, I think actually the pandemic created a weird situation. So in 2020, you had the normal New Year's, right? No one really saw what was coming. And I feel like when the pandemic started for book readers and non-readers, it gave them a unique opportunity to like really dive into literature and, you know, just read a lot. And I think 2021 saw those same people having, you know, a full year of reading under their belt and really starting to tackle the idea of doing a reading challenge, not just reading a book. So I kind of 2022, it's interesting to see, yeah, if people do just a raw number, or like, Joe, is yours a raw number? Are you trying to read a certain genre, or like spread out your reading, or what's...
It's a little bit of both. Have their really cool bookstore or the Barnes and Noble half off picking up books. And so my like physical to read shelf is very, very large. So I have 150 books, which for those folks, absolutely insane. But Sam, I think you hit the nail on the head. My like 29, we'll get to that in a second, but was 50 books. My 20 doubled plus that. It was 120 books. And last year was 150, which I exceeded. And so this year is 150 as well. I spend all of my time reading. If you ask me like what the latest movies or TV shows are, I'm completely oblivious, but really focus on reading and audiobooks.
That is kind of insane that you guys read so much. And I always hear like these, you know, what sound to me like outlandish numbers. I want to get through 5 books this month, you know, even that sounds like a lot. But just to imagine reading 150 books in 1 year, what is there any criteria that you look for to manage that? Like, are you thinking, you know, oh, it has to be like under 200 pages? Or is it just, I'm going to pick up something and it's going to go into my tally?
For me, it's just picking up something. I don't, because I do read some novellas, and some of those novellas are, yeah, it's not a 250, 400, 500 page book, but it is a full book, just condensed down very, very well. I think, too, when you're looking at that many books, I'd be surprised if very many people at that count have, like, a page count criteria. I think it's more about almost exposure, too. I think, and Joe, I get the impression that your reading is this way, too. When you read that many books a year, you end up inevitably reading a wider variety than you would have otherwise.
Absolutely. I read 156 books, and that included cookbooks, comic books, usually comic book collections, not like an individual comic book, but graphic novels, variety types of books. It's not just really intense classics or the latest romance books. It's a really wide variety. The other thing is, I did a lot of metric tracking because it, I don't know, it's a pandemic. I have time. It can add value. Of the 156 that I read, 43 of them were on audiobook. And all of them, so just between doing dishes and back, I was able to get through 43 audio.
And Rob, when you're talking about number of books that anyone has read, so we had Martha on a few months ago now from Three Book Girls, and her yearly goal, so Joe's is 150, hers is 225, and she meets that, like, it's
Sheesh.
Yeah.
So the one thing I want to throw, 100 books, that's like way more than I could ever read. In 2018, my book goal was 30 books. I just wanted to read a book every 2 books a month, and then like maybe a little bit more. And it was just a really nice thing to be able to get a library account. So I've mentioned Goodreads a couple times. It's owned by Amazon, so take that with a grain of salt. There's a lot of other ones out there. There's Storygraph, likewise, it'll come up. I'm a sucker for Goodreads, similar how a lot of people are suckers for Amazon, because that's where all of your friends are at already. And so if I know my friend Emma really likes this book, and I can see that through Goodreads, I know I'll probably like it. But you can see your friends, you can track reviews, you can read others, and it gives you a nice little reminder. Hey, you're 2 books ahead of schedule. Hey, you're a book. I give you a nice little push. Sam, do you use Goodreads?
Oh, yes. Constantly. Constantly, I use Goodreads. And I actually combine Goodreads with my own because I am a data nerd. I actually take my Goodreads and then I compile it into a separate Excel document. And I like to track things like how many fantasy pages have I read this year, or how many books did I read? Like, I like to know the genres that I read. The method is mildly interesting to me, but I care more about like the raw information.
Mm-hmm.
So,
do you read a lot of books, Sam? Audiobooks?
Yes. So pre-pandemic, actually, I read a lot of audiobooks because I, for those who don't know, I have a horse and she actually boards 4 hours away from where I live. So that was 8 hours a weekend that I could then spend listening to audiobooks. And when you listen to them at 1.5 times a speed, that's an audiobook weekend. So I used to do a lot more. Pandemic actually knocked that down for me quite a bit. But that's kind of one of the things I'm going to get back into this year, because once it warms up, I have many plans of doing things with her. So yeah, I used to read a lot, listen to a lot more audiobooks. My problem, though, I'm an audiobook snob, and that is one of the things I want to work on this year for my book stuff, because I'm very picky about who the narrator is. And Yes, that is one of my bookish goals, is to work on that along with just doing more. But I think the other thing too, to go with New Year's book resolutions, even just reading one book when you didn't last year, like that's still a good thing. Like just, you know, deciding to pick up a couple of books. Say you want to read, you read one book last year, you'd like to read two this year. And I think that's where audiobooks can be a really good option. I know, Rob, correct me if I'm wrong, but you almost exclusively do audiobooks, don't you?
Yeah. Almost exclusively, yeah. It's just, from my tastes and my schedule, it is infinitely more convenient. And it has its downsides, you know, obviously. But for the most part, I would say it's actually just how I prefer to engage with literature at this point. I have a hard time, like, now that I've grown so accustomed to audiobooks, I have a hard time sitting down and reading a book. Because when I'm on an audiobook, obviously I'm not just like laying on my couch and just, that's the only thing I'm doing. You know, I've got other things going on. So it's nice to be able to still get my reading kind of fix and still be able to engage with the story, maybe while I'm playing a video game or if I'm cooking or just on my 40-minute commute to work. You know, I have a lot more time where I'm not really engaging my ears as much as I am my eyes. So it just kind of, it works out really well.
Do you guys ever try and where you're going, oh gosh, I've read two. And
damn, never says that.
You kind of need to try other stuff on, or how do you even find that? Oh gosh, how do I get out of my?
I need
to get out.
I do. And it's more so, it's actually not usually genre specific. It's a lot more, I'll find myself reading just by happen chance of picking books, a bunch of like really sad books all in a row. And what I do is I actually go to my librarian and I say, you know, I'm reading a bunch of sad books. I would like a happy book. Can you give me some options for some happy books that are on the shelf? Like, I just want to read something happy. So I usually go to my local library, and if I can't find anything there that seems to fit what I want, the next one I actually go to is I'll go look at Barnes & Noble's online catalog and see what new books have come out and see if any of those catch my attention. Otherwise, I'm in a number of book clubs. Fantasy book club. I'm in a book club run by my local library that tends to be a lot of historical fiction style books or women's literature. And then I'm in an all women book club that we rotate who picks the book of the month. So you never really know what you're going to get. And that kind of gives my reading a little bit of variety every month.
A little bit?
Well,
it's like seven sources for books that you have.
I like to read a lot, and I find that when I get into a slump, especially, you know, if you're getting to the end of the year or even starting the year and you just don't know what you want to read, but if you have an idea of if you want to read something happy or something, you know, satirical, or you want to read a book where everyone gets killed, like some people, you know, you want to read some Game of Thrones, you know, it can be hard to find a source to kind of lead you towards a book that is a good selection. You can go to book reviewers if you are into that, Goodreads if you find someone, like Joe said, that you know that you like things that they like, and kind of go see what they've got. Or your local librarian can be such a really great, really, really good resource.
And Sam, you also mentioned, mm-hmm. as much as I love independent bookstores, Barnes & Noble has a really good pulse on kind of where the book,
yep.
what's going to be up and coming. At least the Barnes & Noble in my area have little like signs that are like, what's popular on BookTok? Great mm-hmm. tool. But mm-hmm. I understand that BookTok's a big thing, sister-in-laws. and understand what they're. I really don't like spending money on books, though. And so my library hasn't put things on hold. So I wander around Barnes and Noble for. I find some really cool book. I find them either on audiobook, ebook, or physical book that I can put on hold, which is really, really nice to save the X amount of dollars I would have spent physically and get those books.
The other thing I'll do is if my library doesn't have it and I can't put it on hold, I actually take pictures of the books that I'm interested, but either A, don't want to spend the money on, or B, I'm not ready to spend the money on yet. I take a picture of them and I put them in a folder on my cell phone. And so periodically, that's another actually really good opportunity too. If you're a big reader, or even if you're a really slow reader and you see books that you think might interest you, but you don't want to get it because you don't want to look at that pile of to be read on your shelf,
I feel like
is
I'm being shamed right now.
well, it's an option for people who are really, it's more so like the slow readers who don't want to have a pile up, is you take a picture of the book, put it on your phone, you can put it in a little folder on your phone, and then when you're getting to a point where you're feeling like you're in a slump or you can't seem to find a book, go look through those ones that piqued your interest in the past. Maybe they'll pique it again. If you went to the effort of pulling your phone out and taking a picture of that book and then putting it back, there was something about it that interested you. And it could be that, what you've been reading lately isn't doing that, and going and looking at what previously did, maybe it will again. So, and maybe you'll have an opportunity at that point. Maybe your library's gotten the book by then, or maybe it's available used, or you're gonna go to Barnes and Noble, make a little purchase. I mean,
Or your local used bookstore.
or your
I think
local
that
used.
Folders Books or Goodwill or whatever, to be able to at least recognize. My husband likes to play a game where he goes and will pick out books. He's like, you'd probably pick these up, right? Because he knows the types of covers and fonts that are really popular right now that I enjoy. And he goes to me that they're already on my want to read list. And so once you understand kind of the types of authors, the types of styles, it makes it intimidating when.
I
know.
Sorry, go, Rob.
Well, I was just going to say for myself, one thing that kind of always motivates me to read is a good title. And so a lot of times, I mean, I will scroll through like huge, lists, whether it's an actual like list that somebody put together, or if it's, like pictures of books. You see people's like little collections that they have all the time. Stuff like that, like just seeing, hey, this book exists. I don't know. It's something about like keeping it just that simple kind of really motivates me. Because there's a book that I read this year that I really, really loved. And the whole reason that I read it was because I was intrigued by the title. And obviously I went and looked at it a little bit more and I'm like, oh man, this looks like it might actually be pretty good. And that book is
Rob,
called The
The
Far
Grapes of
Pavilions.
Wrath. Okay.
The Grapes of Wrath as well. But I knew about that already, obviously.
Sorry, say your name of your title again. I know I talked over you.
It's called The Far Pavilions by MMK. And it's actually a really old book. But something like that, like an intriguing title or an intriguing cover, just kind of seeing that alone, it almost does more for me than even like a recommendation from a friend. Because it allows you to really like, I don't know, if you're actually in the mood for a book, it allows you to really sort of engage your imagination and build up a natural kind of curiosity, which I would say maybe 4 times out of 10 that leads to me actually, or actually being in trying to read the book. There are some books that I don't get through. Hyperion. Oh, I forgot to say
Also
that while I was
fitting.
coughing. But yeah.
We talked a little while about books. Such a sucker lately. because I read The Queen's Gambit and I just finished Little Fires. If I see a good TV show that I know is based off of a book, I personally can't watch a show or watch a movie if there's a book and I haven't read the book. Hence me not watching Dune yet. That's also a really big motivator of like, well, this Hulu season of traction. I imagine the book was good enough for them to write it off of. It's probably a nice audiobook read or a physical book read. And that can help fill up your kind of, what do I want to read or what am I?
I think the other thing that can actually be a roadblock for a lot of people is, I think as a reader, as long as you're not reading for an assignment reading is a different thing. When you're reading recreationally or for your own purposes, if you don't like a book, it is okay to not finish that book and try a different book. Like if your goal is just to finish a book, it's okay to put down The Lord of the Rings and go for that rom-com that looks funny. It's okay.
Sam, you're speaking to my soul. I cannot read The Lord of the Rings. I have things last year because I got through The Hobbit, gave it high
can. Don't start.
I gave The Hobbit.
You know what, Joe? To boost you up a little bit, my a friend of mine, and you know what? He must be listening to the podcast because I don't remember saying anything to him about you not liking The Hobbit. He sent me a message and was like, you know, she's right. It sucks, in his opinion.
Yes.
So. Wow.
Guys,
I'm being attacked.
2017, 2018.
I love The Hobbit. I love The Hobbit. Okay. Like, let's be clear. I love The Hobbit, but it isn't for everyone.
No, I read a book called The Happiness Middle-Aged Divorcees in the 2010s. And part of it was, if you can give it up, if you are watching this TV show and you have to get through the first season to make it good, don't. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Give it up. Like, if you have to get through The Hobbit to start reading it, give it up. Like, I used to not read at all because I would slog a book that my mom said I would love. Sorry, Mom. But, like, it would be this total slog. And then, as you contemporary romance, I read Bridget Jones. This is like every rom-com I've ever read, like watched on a movie in a book format. And I fell in love with reading again, or like comic books and graphic novels. Absolutely fell in love with those.
Yeah, I think it's a weird stigma. And it seems to really be a stigma with those who don't read a lot of books. Like, or in school, right? I remember very vividly being in school and people being very proud of the fact that they always read every book that they started. And I think even at that point, I was at, you know, if I paid for a book, I would read it, which I don't do anymore, which is part of the reason too why I don't like buying books full price. And I prefer getting them from the library, because if you're borrowing a book and you don't want to finish it, it hurts a little bit less. But the stigma from when we're young and we are having to read for coursework versus when you're reading for yourself, it is okay. It is perfectly okay. You know, there is no such thing as the book police. They're not going to be mad at you. Just like, you know, if you read, I'm trying to think of a very popular book.
Harry Potter.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, was Harry Potter. If you read Harry Potter and you can't finish it and you give it a one star, it's okay. It is okay. New Year's resolutions aren't about forcing yourself to do something painful. It's about discovering something that you actually maybe like to do.
That's true. I would also encourage people. I mean, I do this for myself. I'm not going to encourage anybody else to do this, but something I want to do is I actually want to become more critical of works.
Yeah.
And something that I'm looking for is books that I think I could enjoy, but that I don't think I would. I specifically want to read books that I would normally like turn away from at the last moment, so that I can see sort of like, okay, well, why was I almost there? You know, because it's real easy to find a book that you just know you're not going to like. But to find a book that's like, oh man, this looks like it could be good, but I don't think it will be. I want to read books like that.
I also found it depends on the season of life that you're in, right? Yeah. I'm in grad school right now. And so there's some books. I'm able to read some very dense nonfiction books on my winter break right now because my entire written book. And so what normally would feel like a total slog to school, I'm able to, like, it's okay to pick up a book, put it down.
I've done that actually with a lot of books. I think, too, it's to Rob's point of reading critically. You would be surprised if you go back and reread a book that was your favorite, you know, say when you were in high school, and see if it still is now. And to go back and I reread To Kill a Mockingbird almost every year. This was the first year in a long time I didn't. But every time I reread it, one, I get a different thing out of it. But two, I do reread it for critical reasons to see how the author did this well. Why did I like it? Why do I still like it? What about it has allowed this to go through so many phases of my life? And it's, is it just because it's really well written? Well, Shakespeare's really well written too. And I can't reread that every year. So
yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea. What was you guys' you just said To Kill a Mockingbird. Mm-hmm. What was your favorite book growing up, Joe?
I am such a sucker for middle grade. And so I'm very dedicated to the whole Roald Dahl. I absolutely love Matilda, The Witches, The Twits, James. And I mean, honestly, even today, I have all that as like a nice like palate cleanser in between. I read those really dense nonfiction books and go, you know what? I think I need to read Matilda.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think I might do that, actually. I might. That might be, well, too late to say the first book that I read for the year, but that might be my next book. One of my favorite books growing up, I have two that really stick out in my mind. One was Stargirl by by Lewis Sacker. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the other was called Flipped. I can't remember who it's
Flipped
by.
Is so good. It's got the chick on the cover that's upside down, right? Yes.
Flipped. It's one of my it might still be my all-time. I have to read it again. But I loved it so much. So I'm going to go back to those books, and I'm going to see if I still feel the same. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know, in general, I would say reading books of that era, you know, I shouldn't say of that era.
Just nostalgic, right?
Yeah, you know, of that era of your life.
Oh, gosh. The Giver, Holes, Hatchet, like all of those that kind of have a special thing. But I also think when it comes to like To Kill a Mockingbird, there's a lot of things in high school that we slogged through. Mm-hmm. I read The Scarlet Letter kind of with my head down and my eyes. Okay, I'll write the book report on it. But I think a friend of mine reached out and said, hey, do you remember you should reread it. I think you'd find a lot of value in it. And as an adult, you can find a lot of value slogged through or didn't finish.
Like The Grapes of Wrath.
No, not like The Grapes of Wrath.
Okay, so by the same author as Grapes of by the same author as Grapes of Wrath, pretty sure. One that as an adult that, you know, when you look at it, because it's a thick, thick boy, is East of Eden. It is a really good book that wasn't a required reading for everyone, and that's why I think it has a really good opportunity of It is a book that sees two brothers grow up and the different lives they lead. And I think actually if you were wanting a New Year's resolution and you want a book that is both entertaining and also has a lot of life lessons that you can say, oh, it's a really good read. East of Eden, as a teenager, I remember picking it up and just dreading it. And then once I finally read it, there was a lot to relate into it because it goes through their entire life. So there's a portion in there that at almost every stage you can find things to relate to, which is a unique thing in books. I think too, the when you're looking at book resolutions, right, you have a wide variety. You have the longtime readers. You have those who maybe are readers, but are deciding to start to bite off, you know, going from reading 30 books a year to reading 75 or 100 books a year. People who haven't read a book since they were forced to in high school that they may or may not have actually read anyways. To even like another area of people who start to get into reading again are like, you know, retirees, people who had 40 hour a week or more jobs and now need something else to do. And one of the things that would be interesting that I don't think of outside of Rob is that idea of making a book resolution to approach books the way that we did in high school when we were analyzing them. I think that is an interesting and a really good approach to books, especially if you're wanting to get into writing or kind of delve into that. Not saying anyone needs to. Rom-coms are great. But it is an interesting thing, and it would be really interesting if there was a book club that was actually, you know, dove deep into that. That wasn't, I think there are author writing groups that will do that, but took it just from the reader perspective, not trying to recreate or analyze how they were able to accomplish that. It's an interesting thought, Rob, that you've got me on for a New Year's resolution for 2023, I think. Not this year. I've got enough. Maybe 2023.
Better luck next year. No, it is. And, you know, with both of us being fledgling writers ourselves, it really does a couple things for me. One, it makes me want to write. Two, it makes me want to read more, and it actually makes me, I feel like, well, I guess it's obvious, get more out of the book. It's so easy, especially on audiobook, to kind of just tune out here and there and not really be, you know, paying attention or be invested. But when you specifically go into a book saying, okay, I'm going to like try and learn something here. Even a book that I did that with that I didn't enjoy, I was still kind of glad that I read it. And if you're curious, that book was Eye of the Dragon by Stephen King. I had read that with the intention of looking at it critically. And even though it was certainly not one of King's best, I still got a lot out of it. You know, I was able to understand things better, you know, things that would normally baffle me. Like, why did this character make this decision? You know, this is flat out stupid, you know, instead of just sitting there and going on to the next chapter, you know, you give it a second. Okay, let me think about this. Or, you know, you do it later after you finish the book and you know a little bit more. It really is, I think, a valuable thing if you go to a book with that intention. I don't know if you would get as much out of it if you tried to do that, like, after a casual read.
Mm-hmm. I think the other thing, too, with approaching a book that way, especially if you haven't been into reading for a long time, or if, you know, you've tried in the past and you just can't seem to get it to work, is you go into a book wanting to figure out what it is about the book you like, and what it is about the book that you don't like. Like, I have learned, honestly, mostly from once I got into doing book reviews and taking a more critical look at who would like this book, who wouldn't like it, and why. Learning what you like in books and what you don't. For example, you know, I have learned that with the older Stephen King novels and that style of horror novels, I just don't like the writing style. It's not the writing style is bad or, you know, poor grammar, poor English. It's just, I don't like it. And being able to recognize why you don't like a book too, I think can help in your journey in reading of finding books that you do like. And I think that kind of goes with the, that's where it can be really good to get recommendations from librarians or friends, because you can end up getting recommended books that you won't necessarily find on any list. So like, for example, when I was middle school, I think it was sixth or seventh grade, I was in a secondhand store, happened upon a book called Bad Blood by Deborah Doyle. And it's to this day one of my favorite books. I went and got dug through and found old copies of the rest of the books by that author. But that isn't something that even today you will find on anyone's list anywhere. So going to your friends or the librarian or even a search engine and having a basis of this is a book I liked and I liked it for this reason can help you to find that next book that you could enjoy.
Heck yeah.
I really appreciate the opposite side. Your job requires you to think really critically and work really critically. Sometimes you don't have the mental space, and so you kind of want the equivalent of like bad reality TV.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I found comic books. And so kind of however you read, wherever you're reading in, if you're reading, even if it's audiobooks, even if it's comic books, just sparsely here and there, I do want to do a quick round robin. Kind of mention, Rob, what are your book goals for 2022 or writing goals as well? We didn't touch a ton on writing, but interested in that as well.
Yeah, you know, for me, the two really do very often go hand in hand. I know for myself, I have never, like, ever even thought about setting a book goal. It was just something that never occurred to me. So I think instead of saying I'm going to read X amount of books a year, kind of what I'm thinking right now is I'm going to read a different genre with every book. That's something that I kind of notice I like to do anyway. But to really kind of get out there, I mean, I read like memoirs. But when was the last time I read like an actual, you know, biography, you know, something like that. Different genre with every book. I want to read, like Sam brought up, I want to read a book that I've read before as a child that I really liked. And kind of figure out why I liked it so much. You know, there's a lot of, I don't know if you call it mid-grade, but like very junior YA, you know, almost all of the books are basically the same book. You know, why did I like this book so much more than the others that I still remember its name, I still remember its cover, I still remember its author. And then I need to actually keep track, I think, of the books that I read. Because I was trying to think of what books I've read this year. And, you know, 2020 just kind of blended into 2021. They're like the same year, you know? Almost nothing feels different outside of the fact that I moved. But even that, you know, same kind of stuff going on in my life. So I want to keep track of when I read these books. And I want to say that's probably going to be it for my reading goals. My writing goals, you know, hey, just write. That's always one. That always has to be at the top of the list. But I think I'm also going to try to write a bunch of shorter stuff rather than just focusing on what my long form work. Writing a bunch of shorter stuff to kind of, you know, it does a lot of things. It's practice. It helps you build a baseline. And it's also a lot of fun. And that's the thing I think I need to focus on more is writing specifically to have fun as opposed to one day becoming an author, you know. So those are my literature-related goals for the year for right now. How about you, Sam?
So we've got the 100 books this next year. Really getting back into doing book reviews for publishers and authors and getting into the swing of that again. For my writing goals, I always have the short stories, which little plug for the channel, there are some short stories that have been submitted by folks that we have recorded in the past, which I enjoy reading a lot. But also, I have a couple, I'm going to call them manuscripts because that's kind of what they are. I think that's what they're considered. Rob, would you call them that?
I don't know if you can call it a manuscript until it's done.
I don't know.
I don't really know what makes a manuscript.
Drafts, big drafts, and work on those and keep chugging along. But yeah, I think the big one is just reviews, lots of reviews.
Maybe a manuscript is just what you call it when you're already like a hired author. I don't know.
I feel like that's not like a sacred term. Like, you have a manuscript. If it's a lot of pages, if you can't staple.
I cannot staple one of them. So.
And not do.
No, yes, not. Well, one of them you would have to put into a like a ringed binder, or you know, have them on a ring at that point.
Like a manuscript. We should go back to calling them tomes and lexicons.
There we go. What about you, Joe?
At the very beginning, books, school books. So I'll probably pretty quickly hit it. But I'm also focusing on getting my shelf. So there's a lot of stuff in 2020 pandemic where I impulse bought a lot of books in a panic, thinking I'd never be able to read books again. So I'd really like to get those. As a whole, just reviewing more books. I have the very bad habit of casually listening to or reading a book and going, yeah, that's something I did, and kind of walking. So I'm very grateful that Southern Today, Gone Tomorrow. And just forcing myself on Goodreads to have better memory. So when I look at this book 2 years from now, I can go, yes, this is a book I read. And this is a fact about the book I read, not going, well, that's weird. I don't remember anything about it. So
that it definitely is something that when you start actually doing book reviews, I run into far less frequently the, I've already read this book and I remember nothing other than like, this all feels familiar.
Right. It's also kind of cultivating what I need. Do I need something more cognitive, engaging, or how do I balance that with kind of what's going on outside of my reading? So thinking about that.
You know, I just thought of something else that I'm going to try to do. I'm going to think of some of my closer friends who I know are into reading. And I'm going to...
Rob, is it us?
You guys are a part of it, certainly. I'm going to find a book that I think you guys would enjoy that you haven't read.
Good luck.
Yeah, well, with you, Sam, I mean, it's going to be pretty tough. I might just have to write the book myself.
Hey, if you've got Goodreads, you can check my Goodreads. It's a pretty solid like place to make sure I haven't read it. Very solid.
Or you have to write a manuscript.
Yes. I mean, I love Rob's style of writing a lot. There is one story that I would love to have some more from, Rob. I hope you know which one I'm talking about.
Oh, you know, I just write so much these days. Oh, my goodness. Fingers practically worn out. We'll talk about it later. But yeah, I want to do that. I want to basically find a book to recommend to a friend. I think that's a really good way of not just like engaging with literature, but also engaging with your friend. So yeah, that's something else that I'm going to
appreciate that, Rob. So thank you guys so much for listening. We hope you can join us again when we discuss what books we'd like to recommend to you and kind of what's up and coming, what's kind of our classic favorites and kind of things that are associated. Until then, subscribe to Instagram to @Athenaeum Podcast or thanks, y'all.
Bye.
Bye, guys. Happy New Year.